I take my text this morning from the offertory hymn we will be singing, the classic piece composed by St. Thomas Aquinas, the Adoro Te Devote. O kind pelican Jesus, Lord, unclean I am, but cleanse me in thy blood, of which a single drop for sinners spilt can purge the entire world from all its guilt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus. The Christian who has grasped the power of this blood, who shed it and why, its price, its prodigality, could never be content with merely being protected by it, clothed, covered by this red mantle of redemption. But he must carry it about with him and pour it out, and as we saw last week, like the Hebrews of old, smear it on the outside over his doorposts. The priest must call it down and offer it up in countless chalices of a lifetime of masses, and lay it in the seven sacraments on countless souls. And this, lest any be lost, any drop of this blood, or any soul for which it was shed. In a word, the precious blood for protection, yes. Cease, the heart of Jesus is with me. We pray with confidence in the face of plague or of any kind of persecution. But there is more to it than that. There is propagation as well of the precious blood, whose source, this desire to spread it, is a zeal for God's house. In the introit today we sing, "We have received thy mercy, O Lord, in the midst of thy temple." This zeal consumes us and gives us a lingering thirst for the salvation of souls. The more, she wrote in her life story, the more I gave him to drink, the greater grew my thirst in my poor little soul. St. Therese, the story of a soul. And that thirst is slaked how? Not with some great one draft of cool water, but in little sips taken a little bit at a time, because the Father uses little things to accomplish great goals and glory, which is why he wouldn't mind using you. The little way of Teresa of Lisieux is nothing new and should be part of our way of doing things. In other words, what do we have for God? What do we give but little bits in remnants? Like people sometimes being urged to put odd buttons into the collection basket. That's really all we ever manage to give to God. But pick out the buttons and use them. They do God's work. A chance glance at a holy card falling out of a prayer book after Mass set a teenage girl on her way, the little way, to become the greatest saint of modern times. And a few words from a kindly Capuchin father to a young man of 25, by that age, St. Therese was already spending her heaven doing good upon earth, made all of the difference. And that young man, Camillus, remembered the advice: when you're tempted, the priest said, spit on the devil. And he did. In a word, our sermon today, drops of spittle for for Satan. Drops of blood for souls. Oh, and that little bit of brown wool you and I wear, front and back, for Mary, the Queen and the Beauty of Carmel. Let's do the blood first, for it is the blood of the God-man, and every drop of it is precious. They show you at Lisieux, in the old Cathedral of Saint-Pierre, a side chapel off the epistle side of the high altar where the Martin family, Mr. Martin and his girls, used to assist at the High Mass every Sunday. And there's a little sign to explain what happened there. Father McGuire and I were there just a couple of weeks ago. What happened there? You know how after Mass you get your prayer books together and get things organized to depart? Well, she was doing that, little Teresa was, when a holy card fell out of the book, and she happened to glance at it, and all she saw was his hand with a nail in it and blood. And that it was all it took. It lifted me, she said, out of my narrow world. Is there a one of us who doesn't need to be lifted this morning by the end of Mass out of a narrow world in which we live? And it took me into the reality of Christ's bitter passion. The terrible fact that Christ's blood is forgotten, is rejected, is wasted by innumerable souls. It pierced my heart with sorrow, she wrote later, to see his precious blood falling and no one bothering to catch it. And I made up my mind there and then to stay in spirit at the foot of the cross and gather up the dew of this heavenly life and offer it to others. The sight of the blood pouring from Christ's holy wounds gave her a thirst for souls, which she is slaking still from her place in heavenly glory. The precious blood saved, he says so quite explicitly in his autobiography, today's saint, Camillus of Lellis, who founded the first order of priests and brothers dedicated to nursing the sick, called the Servants of the Sick, 16th century Rome, the same era as St. Philip Neri. But he didn't start out as a saint. He was a soldier of fortune, an addicted gambler, down on his luck, and he literally had lost his shirt. And rather than beg in front of the church, he took a job at a construction site for the Capuchin fathers who were building a new wing of their monastery. He had improvised some kind of a covering for his torso, I guess, which the children can be very cruel at times, found amusing. And they were making fun. They'd go every day to the work site, they'd make fun of Camillus. And later on, he admitted that it was the taunts of those children which bothered him more than anything else, and it was all he could do to stay there and not quit the job and take to the road again and return to his gambling. The Capuchin fathers offered him some Capuchin cloth with which to fashion some kind of a robe to cover himself, but almost superstitiously, this Italian young man said no. He was afraid the habit would make the monk. But his response to this crisis was very different from that of Thérèse. He didn't have a beatific smile. He got very angry indeed, but still the blood would work on him. One day, some kindly priest took him aside to a grape arbor and had the celebrated little talk we priests are always being asked to have with people who need it. And he said to him, amongst other salutary maxims, he said, Camillus, whenever you get a really gross temptation, spit in the face of the devil. He did get the temptation the next day on the road, and he did spit in the devil's face, and he knelt down right away, and he started to weep. It was his conversion that lifted him out of his narrow world and made him a saint. There is power in that blood which must not be lost, nor must souls, not a drop of it. A glance at a holy card falling out of a prayer book, a hand with blood. The wounds made in a soul by the words of a priest, which seemingly were falling on deaf ears, the little things, like this little bit of wool we wear fore and aft, the little things. In the 1980s, there was a very popular sort of a self-help book, which made a lot of sense. I thought it was a rather good book. It was entitled, do you remember it, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and I think the subtitle was, and it's all small stuff. And for a lot of people, actually, that turns out to be excellent advice. But in the spiritual life, sweat the small stuff. Your sweat and your little prayers and your sacrifices are everything. I want to conclude by telling you a wonderful story about the scapular, which is as fresh as headlines in the Inquirer this past Wednesday. 20 years ago this summer, a convict from death row contacted our church, and the sister we had at that time, Sister Cabrini, taught him his catechism in Lucasville, and a priest from here baptized him and gave him his sacraments. He talked to others. That's how the faith gets spread. And pretty soon there was a little colony on death row of Catholics. And amongst the priests who visited faithfully over the years was Father James McGilloway, who was assigned at that time to Akron and had a little chapel in Sulphur Springs. Amongst the converts that were in due time made was William Garner, the man who had committed a terrible crime, who was executed in Lucasville this past Wednesday morning. But Father McGilloway was there, and he gave him his sacraments 1 hour before he was put to death. And he wore the brown scapular, and he was at peace. And then in his charity, Father and his people at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Chapel arranged and paid for the funeral. I spoke to Father. He was in town. He was staying in Norwood the other night. And he said that they had selected the cheapest funeral home in a black neighborhood, and of course a Protestant too. And he had gone over earlier that evening to see the lay of the land and get the altar ready for the Requiem Mass the next day. And he wondered how things would be set up because they weren't Catholic, of course, and they didn't know how we Catholics do things for a wake or for a funeral. But he was so touched, he said, because when he went in, he saw that the undertaker, instead of arranging the rosary, as we do it, in the dead man's hands, he had arranged instead the scapular. And he had it in such a way, Father said, that anyone who came up to the coffin would see and would read, "Whosoever dies wearing the scapular shall not suffer eternal fire." A sign from God, the scapular. St. Therese was a great one for signs. That's why she won't mind if you ask her for a rose or two to let you know your prayers been heard. After she was lifted out of her narrow world, she pitched on a certain convict, an Italian named Prenzini, who had murdered several people, and he had resisted every effort to convert him. But she and her sister Celine started to pray and offer little sacrifices for him. But she wanted a sign, she told God the Father. She wanted a sign that her prayer was heard. She knew it would be, but she said she wanted to see something, some evidence. So she wasn't supposed to. Proper girls of that era were forbidden to read the paper. But she sneaked a look in the paper after the execution. And she read the story. And sure enough, this man, Prenzini, refused the priest's administrations to the end. He wouldn't go to confession. But just at the very last minute, when he had been strapped to the board for the guillotine and the assistant executioner had grabbed him by the hair and they were just about to chop off his head, he asked the chaplain for his crucifix and he kissed it three times. A sign. That reminds me of the celebrated story. Did you ever hear the story of Bishop Sheen, who was asked once to visit a certain man who was dying in the hospital? His sister begged him to go to see him and have a little talk with him because he had committed some terrible sins. His crimes, as those of this William Garner, were against children. And he wouldn't repent and he wouldn't go to confession. So Bishop Sheen started to stop on the way home from work at the offices of the Propagation of the Faith every evening. And he, at the beginning, just popped his head in the door and looked at him for a moment, said a brief prayer to himself, and went away. Eventually, he made small talk with the man. And finally, as the man's illness was progressing, one day he broached the subject and he said to him, "William, would you like to go to confession?" Imagine turning down Bishop Sheen, but he did. "No, Bishop," he said, I'm fine. No confession for me." Well, soon afterwards he was dying, and the bishop instructed the night nurse to be so good as to call him if anything happened, and if he wanted a priest, to call him at any hour of the night. Well, she called during the night, the night nurse did, and she said, "Your Excellency, that man, William, the one you've been visiting, yes, he's dead." "Did he ask for a priest?" "No." "Did he say anything?" "Well, yes, he did." "What did he say?" "He said, 'My Jesus, mercy.' And then he died. A sign from God in his goodness. Because you see, it is not over until death. Save your tears, or rather, unite them with Mary's in the chalice of the Mass. But remember that the love of God is such and the power of his blood is so abundant that it overflows the chalices of the seven sacraments and is not limited in any way at all. The only limitation that is placed upon it is our prayer and our confidence. Save your tears for your loved ones, or rather join them to the chalice at the Mass, of which one little drop is enough to cleanse the entire world. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.